Many Wisconsin hunters are aware of the pheasant propagation program conducted at the State Game Farm in Poinette, which annually hatches thousands of pheasants for hunting opportunities across the southern half of the state. Few, however, are aware of the fur propagation program. As writer Bob Wilging recalls in today's History Afield, fur was once a thriving part of game farm operations.
The old boys of the State Game Farm were all gone by the time I interviewed Marv Coke Cockle at his home in Poinette in the spring of 2000. "I'm the last one left," he told me, with a mix of pride and sadness in his voice. "Not many people today even know about the fur program, not even those here in Poinette." Cockle reminisced with me about the many days he spent grading fox and muskrat pelts and grinding feed for the raccoons as a state employee during a time in Wisconsin history when fur, both wild and farmed, was a much bigger part of the landscape than today. Cockle, who retired from the Wisconsin DNR in 1984 after 40 years of service, spent his long career working at the State Game Farm, located just outside the small town of Poinette in Columbia County. A year after joining the Game Farm staff in 1944, Cockle was assigned to the Fur Plant, a section of the Game Farm dedicated to the propagation of native fur bearers. Today, the facility, once known as the Experimental Game and Fur Farm, is simply called the State Game Farm, and its focus is pheasants, producing thousands annually to be released on public hunting grounds. When Cockle was hired, the Fur Farm section of the facility was a hub of activity, with a variety of active projects involving a variety of fur bearers, including mink, fox, raccoon, muskrat, otter, and even pine marten, all part of the state's fur bearer research and propagation programs. The Poinette facility was established in 1934 when Harley McKenzie, director of the Conservation Department, combined two existing state game farm operations, one in Door County and another on the Waupun prison grounds, where prisoners provided labor to hatch and rear game birds from eggs. Although the propagation and stocking of game birds, such as pheasants, Hungarian partridge, quail, and chuckers, was of great importance at the new facility, research into the propagation and care of fur bearers and programs to restock fur bearers in the wild were of equal importance. At the time, there was strong political and economic support to assist the fur farm industry, as well as provide hunters and trappers with increased opportunities to take fur bearers. Fur farming was a big part of the economy in Wisconsin in the 1930s and 40s. In 1939, there were more than 1,200 licensed fur farms in the state, including mink, muskrat, and raccoon ranches. Fox farms, which weren't licensed by the state, were also booming. In November 1938, the famous Fromm Fox Ranch at Hamburg pelted nearly 2,000 fox a day. In 1935, the Conservation Department stated, "At the present time, Wisconsin's fur farms yield more than 50% of the silver fox and mink furs produced in the nation, due in part to the influence of organized raccoon hunting groups. Raccoons were a prominent feature at the fur farm in the early years." The raccoon ranch was run by the Millard brothers, Cockle told me. It was a large facility. He continued, "At one time, I counted over 400 female coon kept for breeding stock." Raccoon hunting was extremely popular in the simpler times after the Great Depression, not just because raccoon pelts were a valuable commodity, but also due to the numerous field events that could greatly increase the value of a good hound. Although raccoons were not scarce in the wild, they were not abundant, and raccoon hunter associations convinced the Conservation Commission to breed and release raccoons for sport hunters. According to Cockle, the raccoon program was funded by sportsman dollars at first, but the funding shifted to an occupational tax of 25 cents per raccoon pelt sold. Eventually, the funding came directly from the Wisconsin Raccoon and Fox Hunters Association. "It was a costly program," said Cockle, "but it had a lot of support from an influential state senator and a newspaper editor, both involved with the Coon and Fox Hunters Association." The support was strong enough to keep the raccoon ranch running at Poinette for 20 years. When it finally shut down in the late 1950s, the ranch had produced as many as 1,000 animals a year for stocking. The young raccoons were crated up and distributed to wardens for release into the wild. But the stocking of young raccoons was a concern for Cockle and others at the game farm. "A problem with the program was that the raccoon born in the spring were released in August," he told me. "Too young to fend for themselves, I thought." Another of Cockle's responsibilities involved maintaining the game farm's live animal exhibits, and his affinity for fur bearers won him some notoriety. Wisconsin State Journal staff writer John Newhouse wrote of Cockle's ability to tame two badgers in November 1954. "If there ever was a fighting animal, it's a squat, powerful badger," Newhouse wrote. "And it's extremely rare when one is tamed, for badgers don't cotton much to mankind. That's why the seasoned animal men at the state game farm here are impressed with the job that Marvin Coke Cockle is doing at the farm with a pair of badgers approaching maturity." Through the years, the fur programs at the game farm were discontinued, with little remaining by the early 1960s. With the modern-day decline of the fur farm industry and the explosion in raccoon numbers in the wild, the old fur programs of the state game farm speak of a different era. For WXPR, this is Bob Wilging with History Afield.